Starting the book of Acts, hope this will be a profitable study for us. I think it will, because there's a lot of history in here. One of the things that's neat about the book of Acts is we see the beginning of the church. Not only do we see the beginning of the church, we see the beginning of many, many, many things that are a pattern. We see a lot of patterns that's established before us that we still hold to today, that we find in the book of Acts. If you've not went to the back page of the book, the very back page has been in other books of his. I just want to point it out that he mentions, you know, things that would help you is in the study here, you know, getting a good concordance of the Bible, getting a good Bible dictionary, and so forth, and maybe a lexicon and some other things that he's mentioned here that would be good and value of you to help you study. And I want to say that we have either these exact, I don't know if we've got a Young's in there, I think we do, but we've got Strong's Analytical Concordance. We've got two or three copies of those in there. We got a Vine's Expository Dictionaries in there. And there's two or three different types, Smith's Bible Dictionary, D. Hoff's, different ones back there in the office on the shelf for the library. And I'd encourage you to borrow one as you need to be able to help you out in study and so forth. Also, as we recommend a good commentary to get another perspective is always good and helpful as well. We're on page number one in the book. It's for our study for the book of Acts. And we're going to go straight to the questions. And we'll use the questions as a way to review what's in the lesson material. Question number one, which I thought was an interesting question. How long did it take you to read the book of Acts? when I read that question, I was like, oh, I guess in a roundabout way, saying we need to read the book of Acts before we get started. Nobody wants to admit. How long did it take you to read it? That's about an hour and 45 minutes if you read it straight through.
Well, you know, if you do the daily Bible reading in the New Testament part, or just completely started on Romans. So, 45 days reading the Sermon on the Mount for each day.
Mm-hmm.
So I put 45.
Well, I'm a slow reader, so how long it takes me to read something's usually longer than most people. But on the other hand, I usually try to comprehend what I'm reading, so that's why I'm slower. Where a lot of people just reading words. Question number two, why might the book of Acts be spoken of as a bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles?
One reason is it answers questions that might need to be brought up. It's the completion of things that are spoken of either in the Gospels.
Well, just in our last study we did of Philippians, yeah. We wouldn't have known anything about the beginning of the Philippian church if it hadn't been for the book of Acts, would we? Acts 16:17. We wouldn't have known anything about it because the information wasn't elsewhere. And we can say that about several of the other congregations, other churches as well. I believe Ephesus was the same way. You read about its beginning in the book of Acts, but not in the letter to the Ephesians. And I guess that makes sense because he was writing to an established church. The book of Acts tells us about the beginning of the church, which we'll get into over the next couple of weeks. It begins kind of at a strange point. It begins with Jesus leaving the earth, ascending into heaven. And it begins with the Holy Spirit coming with power. We did not see that and the Gospels. We've seen it up to that point, but we didn't see much past that point in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, any of the Gospels. And so that's what makes it a good bridge between the letters. The letters, the epistles, we see them as being written to established congregations, ones that have been around for a short period of time, 20, 30 years perhaps, some maybe not even that long. And once again, this kind of bridges the time gap as well between those two things. Question number three, name two or three unanswered questions in the Gospels that the epistles that are in the epistles that are answered in Acts. And you go back to page number one, 1B there's the questions he's talking about. Right. One of the questions you had, Paul, for instance, where did he appear on the scene? And Paul appears in Acts chapter 7, verse 58, first at the stoning of Stephen as Saul of Tarsus. Or Saul, I think we learned later he's from Tarsus. But anyway, he was called Saul then. And then in Acts, the next mention of him, in Acts chapter 9, where we read about his conversion or leading up to it, we learn of Paul persecuting the church. Really, you know, in a heavy way, having people killed, thrown in jail, all these things we read about in the book of Acts, beginning with chapter 9, about what he's doing. So he looks like a really bad character, you know, in there, but it answers the question about Paul, when did he appear in the scene? We wouldn't know this otherwise. He makes reference to it in several of the letters, makes reference to what he had done, but he never tells much about it.
Another important thing is the sending of the Holy Spirit and the purpose for the sending of the Holy Spirit is answered in Acts.
Yeah, yep. In Acts, Acts chapter 1, after the ascension, and the appointment of Matthias, begin in chapter 2, verse 1. Here we begin the discussion about the Holy Spirit. When he says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. There was unity. And suddenly there came sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and it appeared to them as cloven tongues, and like as fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, depends on which translation you're reading, and began to speak with other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it goes on, gives a description there. We'll discuss that in great detail when we get to chapter 2. But it's a pivotal, it's an important thing for us to read and understand about the Holy Spirit and his working, as we learn in the book of Acts. Another question they posed is, the gospel was preached to the whole world in 30 years, according to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, and he says, when? I've never tied those two verses together, never thought to. But if you go back and study in the Colossians, if I'm remembering it right, when you study that, you figure out that when he mentions that it had been preached to every creature under heaven, that word there seems to indicate that it was every ethnic group under heaven, not every person that was standing upright and seeing out their eyes and hearing with their ears, but that every part of the world had ethnos, or ethnic peace, or people had heard the gospel. Now, you go to chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, and read a little further from where I stopped just a moment ago. It tells how many people were there, the types of people that was there. Number 9, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt, and parts of Libya and Cyrene, strangers in Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. That's who was represented that day when the Holy Spirit came. And if you go up to verse 7, it mentions Galileans. And so, and of course, they were in Jerusalem. So it tells us that in verse 5, I believe it is, that they were in Jerusalem. So you had representations from groups of people all over the world, the known world at that time, not just Asia or not just Europe. They were coming from other places. Now, none of these were representative of North America. We've had discussions with people about that. You know, we know from secular history and all that North America probably wasn't populated till well after this time, or beginning to be populated. I don't know how you prove it or disprove it, to be honest about it. People got here somehow. The North American Indians, if you go and look at a real North American Indian that hasn't, sounds bad to say in this modern time, but hasn't been mixed, you will see that they greatly resemble the Asians. Bone structures, nose, face, height. You know, the John Wayne movies and all that always show you as an Indian being 7 feet tall or something like that. Sometimes they show them tall in the movies, sometimes they show them short, but my understanding is they were short people. And actually, North Americans were short people 150 years ago. I would have been, height-wise, would have been in the tall people category, and I'm not anymore. I'm in the shorter. I'm not even average height. That's how much things change over time. We can go into the reasons for that, but I don't know that it's worth our time. But anyway, I guess I'm saying all that to say this, that it seems that the representatives of the known world, when you go and look at a map and place where all these people are from, you know, what I find interesting is I've been accused in Tanzania one time of bringing a white man's religion over. I said, hold on there just for a moment. This ain't the white man's religion. This is the African's religion. They're like, well, what are you talking about? We pull out a map and look. I said, you know, point out passages like this, and you start putting where people are. And a large number of these nations that's mentioned here are African nations. Even greater number of them are from Asia, and then you have another group that's from up into Europe. And you say, this is not a white man's religion. This seemed to be centered around Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem? It's in Asia and the Middle East.
We have to remember that this time they were required to go to Jerusalem.
Yep.
To worship.
And that's probably why all these people were there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've read accounts where that there were anywhere from 1 million to 3 million people in Jerusalem at this time because they had come as they were commanded to do.
Yeah, because verse 1 tells us this was the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
That's why they were there. Yes, ma'am.
Well, in the world history books that I was teaching, they were talking about four different locations of early civilization. It had to be around water. So they were looking at the Euphrates and Tigris River.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They said that that was basically land there, and then it broke off at the Bering Sea. And, you know, so they're saying that they could have come from that area into North America and down into South America. And
Yeah. It's an interesting study to see those things.
Did you know this area was an interstate highway back before Columbus?
You're talking about here, what we're reading about? Yeah.
Here, this area right here that we're standing on, the Aztecs would travel up from down in South America up into the Great Lakes area every so often. That's the reason the Indian mounds down there. They would come through here. This would be their super, what they call a super highway.
So it's a passageway, north-south passageway.
Yeah. Right through here. Pardon? No, that was just their river. It was through here.
Another question he posed is there were churches in many localities. When and how were established? And I'm not sure how you could quantify that, to be honest, because that would take a long time to figure all that out through the book of Acts. But I summed it down to this, is by preaching the gospel. That's how they made disciples. That's how they started these churches. These congregations were started. And I even want to go back to the verse Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1. Find it right quick. Verse number 8. He says, "But when you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the world." That's a prophecy there that was fulfilled just a few chapters later. Or at least part of it was. And then we get to the great persecution that's historically happened, that split the church up in Jerusalem and caused the church to go into all the different parts and different regions outside of the Roman Empire. Or at least there were a lot of them trying to get away from the Roman Empire, because that was who's doing the persecution, the persecuting. So that sent people way out. And lots of churches were established and started because of that. Because of that persecution and so forth. And Jesus, like I says, not long after Jesus says this, "You'll be witness of me in Jerusalem." Well, Acts chapter 2, when Peter begins to witness for him. And then in Judea, the northern kingdom, in Samaria, the half-breeds, the rejects of the Jews, because of lineage, and to the uttermost parts of the world, what's left over. And so the church did exactly that, what Jesus said it would do. And it began in Acts chapter 2. Question number 4 on page number 5 says, what do you consider the real design or purpose of the book of Acts? I put the church, number one. Number two is to show New Testament church pattern. I believe that was the real purpose of it, was to show a pattern, because it shows everything that Jesus talked about. Jesus said in Matthew 16 that told Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it." And we see that unraveling, or that revealing, I shouldn't say unraveling, but that revealing of what Jesus told Peter he was going to do in the book of Acts.
One of the things I put baptism, which means the acts of coming a Christian. And remember, there's only one way, and that is to be repented, be baptized, and then God adds to the church. It wasn't a movement like some movements we see, where people can just join and do like they want to do and act like they want to do. But it, like you say, it set a pattern.
Yep, and that pattern, and I was thinking about it, I was like, we try to imitate that pattern today. The difference for us is we're sitting in a church building with electricity and AC and all that, running water here and there, and things that they didn't have. But far as what we do, it's the as best we know and have studied, it's exactly what they would have been doing. Question number five says, name two or three things that are emphasized, really emphasized in the book of Acts.
One was preaching the gospel.
Preaching the gospel. So, another interesting thing they show, well, I guess that's a question on down in there, is, you know, the first half of Acts is Peter's more emphasized, and the second half, Paul's more emphasized more. And there's a reason for that. And the establishment of the church, the planting of the church, and the glorification of the church, I think, are three things that we see in the book of Acts as well. In addition to what you're saying, one of the things that I like about the book of Acts is that it shows how that through adversity the church is still triumphant. Because we'll read about and study about some times where there was some great persecution from the Jews, from the religious people, and we'll read about times where Paul and Silas and Timotheus, and say, I think it's Erastus one time was with him, we read about in Acts, and then the House of Justice and the House of Jason, they were, you know, where they just took him out just to make a show of him. They pulled him out of their house and just give him a beating in the street just to prove a point. And all that because they were, you know, professing to be Christians and upholding that which the pattern which Christ had established. And because of this, the church grew. That's what I always find interesting about it is the church grows, the more that the governments and the people and different ones push and pick and slap and knock on the church that we read about in the book of Acts, it grows. It continues to grow and get bigger because of the persecution. That should be a lesson for us today. Number six is, what year was the book of Acts probably written?
Somewhere
in 1860s. Yeah, I tend to hold to the earlier date of around 60, 61, 62 is what I think. And one of the reasons I think that is because we know in AD 70 is when the great persecution against the church happened. And when the fall of Rome was happened, I guess I shouldn't say it started well before then, but the fall of Rome was in 70, and there were some rough times going on, bad times happening, bad times for people. It wasn't good to be alive at that time. And Paul, in another letter, writes about that. I believe it was in the Roman letter. You know, where he's talking about it's good not to marry because of the current time. And it's because of the persecution. It'd be easier for you to escape if you were single than it would be if you had a wife or a husband to try to get out as well, or a string of kids. That's how bad it was in that period of time. And so I see the book of Acts, from them writing about the adversity and things that happened in previous time, to me would bring hope to the readers. And if you've already gone through it, which would be post 70, which I don't think there's any way it was written after 70, because I think Paul was dead. And Luke, I don't know when Luke. I've not put enough studying to figure out when Luke probably was killed. But
we have to remember too that
Mm-hmm.
And if it was written after, it had to be written before the fall of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Roman Empire was in existence.
Right, prior to 70, yeah. And so the ones that try to say it's 90, I just can't, it doesn't make sense to me. And plus 90, if it was 80, 90, I don't see that, even if these folks hadn't have been killed because of their belief, they'd have died of old age, 80, 90, because some of these folks were around when Christ walked the earth. And I don't know. I'm sharing my idea. I guess I shouldn't say I don't know. So I kind of hold to the earlier date of 61, 62 in that area. Number seven, once again, to me, that's nothing to get hung up on because it doesn't matter that much. Number seven says, who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
That is a very common, it's rare you find somebody who doesn't agree with that. And there's similarities between the book of Luke and Luke's writing here as well. We know that Luke spent a lot of time with Paul, and he probably dictated some of these things from Paul into the book of Acts, or he was writing by inspiration from things that he remembered. There's not much. If you read the quotes, let's see, I believe it was page number 2. If you read the arguments he had on the page there about the author, I thought he had some good things there to convince us that that's probably right. To me, the biggest argument, if you'd want to do it without looking at the name, is the we and the us passages, because we know that from other passages as well that Luke was with Paul on some of these journeys and so forth. And so when it's we and us, he goes to the first person. To me, that just gives more credence to he is the writer. Second part of the question is, give two or three reasons why you think he wrote, I guess we just did that, why he wrote the book. Question number 8, about how many years of inspired history does the book of Acts cover? If you look at the timeline that's presented on page number 3, which to me is a good little chart, that's some good information there. And some of these dates I've seen in other writings and so forth, you was about to give us an answer there. Or I thought I heard you say something. You, yeah. Okay. About how many years is, if this chart is correct, about how many years has passed?
About 30 years.
And a lot of things happened in that period of time. Question number 9 says, name the person, human, and place that are emphasized in the first 12 chapters of Acts. Yep, that's what I wrote down. And I'd never really thought about it till I read this question. Then I went back and did some summary reading and all that. I was like, yeah, that's right. You see the emphasis of Peter, and chapter 2, he gives the first gospel sermon is Peter. We go down to who's dealing with it's dealing with the problems in Acts 6. He's there. Then we go on to go a little further, and Peter gets to see the vision of what's going to happen and what's going to be revealed. And then when we read about the Jerusalem Council a little later, he's there at the Jerusalem Council. So we see a lot of Peter in there. Question number 10 is, name the person or human and place that are emphasized in the last 16 chapters of Acts.
Peter.
Paul.
His desire to go to Rome.
His desire to go to Rome. Yep. And I also thought about the place as well, being the world, because Paul was all over, because he got three missionary journeys of where they went lots of different places trying to establish and preach the word to others and so forth. Those are some good studies to get into as far as it goes with Paul. We learn a lot. If it wasn't for thinking back to the book of Esther, where Mordecai tells Esther what she needs to do, and she's kind of wanting to back out of it at first, and he basically tells her, for such a time as this, so on and so forth, that if you don't do this, God's going to pick somebody else. And so at one time I was thinking, well, what if Paul hadn't have been converted on the road to Damascus? What if he hadn't have given in to the will of God? What would we wouldn't have this? Well, that's probably not true. God would just use somebody else. So to me, that's a lesson for us to remember that whenever we have the opportunity to take advantage of it, if not, he's going to pass us on and go on to somebody else to accomplish his will. And Paul, being in the position that he was in, and God choosing him, to me was obvious that it was for a reason. And because of him, his position and authority and his position with the government as well as with the Jews and so forth, that he had a lot of power and a lot of might that was able to be influential into the world, that helped the church to grow and helped the church to be able to survive. We're going to stop right here tonight and get into the lesson text, start discussing the text next Wednesday night. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything you want to add to our discussion tonight? All right.